So it's a 15 minutes, right?
Yep.
15? If you can tell me when I have 2 minutes left,
sure.
That'd be great. Thank you. Hi, my name is Andy, Sex and Love Addict.
Hi, Andy.
Thank you, Richard. Never been to this meeting, but I feel really happy to be here. And I've been having my plate's been very full lately, and I've had this feeling of exhaustion, and like, because I moved, I'm onboarding for some new work, I've got a creative project going, exercise, you know, volunteering, like a lot of stuff going on, and I just have been feeling depleted, but I feel really energized being here. And I wanted to talk a little about, I'll talk a little about kind of what it was like before and what I've done and some things that are helpful to me. I got a nice little window into my sex and love addiction the other day. But I do want to say I came to the rooms of SLAA 21 years ago this week, and I have been a long-time subscriber, you know, glad my plan. I downgraded at one point to the bronze and found myself in, like, a severely addicted relationship and was like, I guess I have to go back to meeting. But otherwise, I've been, you know, this program has been a foundational, you know, a cornerstone of my life, my spiritual life, my intimacy with others, God, the whole thing. I came to the program, as I said, in 2005. What I was going through was this feeling of this long time sense that something was very wrong in the area of my life having to do with sex, romance, and intimacy. It was either too much, too intense, or the people who I was drawn to, you know, I felt horrible, or I felt nothing, and they felt horrible, and I just felt like all the boats were leaving the dock, and I was just kind of sinking. And I went to an Al-Anon meeting, and I'd never been to a 12-step meeting, it's back in New York, went to an Al-Anon meeting, and it was really great. And I was like, oh, people are actually sharing their feelings, they're talking about a solution, there's hope, I'm not hearing a lot of shame. And then about 6 months later, when I was at like, just truly like a like ruminating, like suicidal bottom of like, my life feels miserable, all about relationship stuff, I thought, I wonder if there's a 12-step program for sex and love. And I went on the internet, I remember because it was Super Bowl week and I was working at the time, something related to, you know, advertising. And anyway, I just typed it in, and I went to a meeting like the next day down in Union Square, and I got a sponsor. I dove in, started working the steps. It has not been, you know, just a straight line of like sobriety and clarity came to me. And there were some periods of very intense withdrawals from, I mean, I started working the steps, and then as they say, you know, you work the steps and the steps work you. And I remember I got to my seventh step where I was saying like, please take the stuff from me that's hurting me. But another part of me was really holding on to it. And it was a belief that if I had sex and love kind of wrapped up in my life, it could be tolerable. And I was in a situation where it was just clear to me that that wasn't true, but I didn't know what else could be true. So I felt like I was just in this severe withdrawal. And I've gone through more kind of low-grade, long-term withdrawals. But always it's my mind clinging to false beliefs that it has long relied on to soothe myself. Whether it has to do with, like, you know, work identity or, you know, status or whatever it is. I think for a long time I felt like, oh, this 12-step program is going to show me how to have a relationship. But I was thinking with the addict mind, like, it's going to let me have my addiction somehow. And it's been only in the last 5 to 10 years that I've begun to, you know, that a more profound shift has taken place where, no, it is not about some situation involving sex, love, or something else that's going to save me or make me happy. It's a relationship with a higher power. It's learning to love myself unconditionally, which is hard because I am not programmed that way. To accept myself with compassion, to try and be a little more human and helpful to other people. And like, that's a much better way to do things. And as I said, I had a sponsor for a long time, and then I sponsored other people, and now I have a new sponsor, and I'm going through the steps again. And I just want to give a little anecdote of something that happened a couple days ago. I was in a relationship until kind of the end of last year. We had broken up, but we were still living together. And then she just moved out a couple of weeks ago. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be single for a little bit. And I was doing some volunteer work, and I started talking to someone, and I sort of was wondering if she was flirting with me a little. And I'm like, huh, maybe, maybe not. And within like 30 minutes, my brain had gone into full, like, it like jumped from like the normal lane to like the hyperspeed, you know, bullet train, like, yeah, oh wow, well, she's a little younger than me, and maybe she'll want children, and like, I don't really want children, but maybe I'm open to it. I'm gonna have to move to like Pasadena. And I'm like, then I thought, all right. It's amazing to me how quickly the disease can just come pop back up, and how powerful it is. I heard somebody say a slogan that I heard years ago that I love, which is, I am further down the road and just as close to the ditch. It's like I've got three-dimensional chess. And my sobriety bottom lines have changed over the years. Like, there was a time when it was, you know, when I came into program, it was no dating. My sponsor said, like, no dating, you're just not going to date. And I'm like, that doesn't sound hard. Within, like, a week, I had, like, numbers. I was like, hey, she asked for my number. I did not give her my number. It's so hard because there's a piece of me as a sex and love addict which says, without this, life is meaningless, and you're not lovable. Those are both distortions, but they're very powerful distortions. And so, you know, after 21 years, like, I'm starting to get some clarity that maybe those things aren't true. You know, and I have a lot of compassion and respect for the strength of this thing and how it, you know, can affect me and other people. And so anyway, I at the end of December, kind of felt that I felt it'd be useful to just put down in writing some of my current bottom lines, and this is what it looks like. No sex outside a committed relationship. No intriguing, which for those of you who are new is kind of like, you know, flirting, seductive, putting out vibes with somebody who I shouldn't be like because I work with them, or I'm not available, or they're not available. No viewing pornography. No pursuing people who are clearly, evidently unavailable. You know, like they're still living with their ex. I mean, I've gotten into that situation. When dating, make a conscious decision to do so and use my dating plan. And that was important for me. That last one was important for me because after I was having this whole frizzing of fantasy about this person, and I had texted her and she had mentioned an organization that I wanted to join, and I was like, I'm gonna tell her that I joined the organization, but I'm gonna wait until the late afternoon to do so, but then I'll tell her something else. To kind of like throw up, you know, and thank God, like she didn't, whatever. It became apparent to me that she was just being friendly or whatever. There was nothing. It was all very unspoken. But in other words, God was like, calm down. And the idea of dating, of doing things consciously, like, okay, I'm gonna date, and I'm gonna use a plan. There's an addict part of me which says, what is the fun in that? What's the point of doing that? But the recovering part of me goes, yeah, it's because dating or being in a relationship is in some ways like anything else in life. It's a big thing. It takes up a lot of space. If I want to commit to it, it has to be something I want, rather than just because an attractive face floats into my radar, which got me into like 2-year relationships or, you know, 5-month bottoms where like I forgot to pay my healthcare premiums and like, you know, got into a fender bender. And so the idea of making conscious choices, it feels freeing, and it also, my disease doesn't like it. I thought, well, I'm not dating right now. I haven't gone through that process of talking to my sponsor and saying, like, what do you think? Am I, you know, what do you think about it? You know, is this, you know, do you think that I should be dating? And by the way, there's another part of me, there's an anorexic part of me that goes in the other direction, which says, like, dating, like, you know, like, it's going to involve, like, anxiety, and then, you know, getting close to someone, and then there's going to be that, I know, like, after a month when, like, she shows up late, and then I'm really, like, angry, and, like, there's going to be all that stuff, and then I have to explain my needs, but do I do it? And anyway, the point is, it's really like anything else, like any other big thing that's important to me, whether it's work, whether it's something creative or something in sort of community work, like, it's going to require conscious engagement, my higher power, the rooms, people, all the tools, I'm trusting more and more this feeling of like I'm being led. You know, if I do my part and I don't know what the bigger next steps are, then I'm not meant to know them. I had a spiritual teacher back in New York. I moved out here a couple of years ago. I had a spiritual teacher in New York I really liked, and she said to her life was kind of like, it was at night, you know, and there are street lamps, and you kind of go from the glow of one street lamp kind of a little into the darkness and then to the next street lamp. And I try to keep making that bigger and bigger, like the bigger street lamps and the more, and it's scary. But I know now that if I don't really feel a certain kind of clarity about something, I don't have to do it. You know, my mind reaches for, as you can see, it reaches for all sorts of things it needs to hold on to. But very much, I think just walking through that darkness and just trusting the next street light will appear seems to serve me a lot better. Looking back, I've suffered from this disease since I was 5 years old, you know, probably younger. I'll give a little bit of family background. I grew up very close to my mother, who was very loving and warm and also had her own mental health issues and spilled way too much onto me emotionally, I would say in her own way erotically, and, you know, a father very shut down in shame and absent, kind of, you know, it's a very common pattern. And so I grew up not really knowing where I ended and another person began. And if that other person was female, I really didn't know. And I had obsessions and frustrations and feelings of despair and yet, you know, hyper-focus on girls, women I was interested in, you know, as long as I can remember. And I remember when I was in like middle school, there was a girl named Lauren, we just called her Lauren W, who asked me if I like wanted to be her boyfriend. And thank you. And I said, sure. And then I hid from her. Because the fantasy was like, it was like taking home like a fly here, like a fly caught in amber. Like, I know where you, I want you to know you're there, but I don't want to engage with you. And just, you know, since I only have 2 minutes, I won't go through my entire relationship resume, but there was just, what eventually brought me into program was, you know, I was in a very avoidant, you know, I kind of chased after someone, sort of get them, and then, you know, a year to 2 years later, 2 to 6 months later, I would lose interest and it would be, you know, a kind of a bloody mess. And eventually I met somebody who was more avoidant than me. And I had, I think, my first experience of feeling terribly love addicted, though I didn't have the words for it at the time. Jumped to a couple of years later and I'm like, something's not working here. And I really didn't know what it was. I just knew something was not working. And lo and behold, in the last, I just turned 60, but in the last couple of years of my life, last 5 years of my life, I've started to understand what an intimate, healthy relationship could be and what I want and need it to be. Where I can be myself, they can be themselves, and we can put words to the feelings so that I know just what's going on with you and you and me. We're not going to merge and we're not going to avoid. You know, we're going to be kind of like two trains running and hopefully add to each other's life. And, you know, hopefully my higher power and sponsor and you guys will let me know kind of what the next steps are. Anyway, I hope that's been helpful for some people. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.